Old School Lame Casual Chats is brought to you by Old School Lame, producing various content from blogs, videos, and podcasts discussing about movies, TV shows, video games, and everything else in between since 2011. You can check out the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, Overcast, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and YouTube. We're associated with Channel Frederator, Manic Expression, The Comic Book Cast, and The Aaron Mehta Show.
I wanna be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test, to train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Casual Chats. I am Patricia, and as of the recording of the podcast, this coming week will be the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, and I thought having these two very special guests come on by to discuss about the Pokemon anime would be pretty appropriate. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Malik. People might know me as the cartoon gamer online. I just do a lot of video game content, a lot of Pokemon stuff, and if you were to ask my friends about like Pokemon stuff, there's Malik knows a lot about that stuff.
My name is Javante, and I also just do some YouTube video stuff myself, and I also follow along Pokemon. I'm playing the card game, I'm watching the show, I'm playing the main games, and
Awesome. Well, yeah, it's been a few years since I've actually covered Pokemon on this podcast. I think the last Pokemon podcast that I did was about almost 3 years ago, where I talked about the Pokemon movies and OVAs with my co-host Eli Stone, aka the Cartoon Hero, Deshinta, and Jim Bevan. So I thought this time around, let's talk about the anime that has been going on for almost 1,000+ episodes and has been going on for multiple generations, all the way from Kanto, all the way to Galar. And I would love for you guys to discuss about your personal history with knowing about the Pokemon anime, or were you guys introduced to it through the games?
Well, we were actually introduced to it through the anime first.
Yeah, that was like the first thing we ever saw in the, when did we start watching that? As far back as I can remember.
Yeah, I'm going to say,
just been going watching this show,
I'm going to say 98, 99, because that's when it aired on YTV, which is a channel up in Canada. And I don't know if it was a rerun, but I remember seeing the first episode. And ever since then, we've been watching the show.
Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As for me, the show started airing when I was around the eighth grade. I was definitely in middle school for sure.
Wow.
So I think that the first time that I saw it, I think it was definitely a rerun that played off after school. But I was actually introduced to the games first. I actually gotten a copy of Pokemon Yellow for the Game Boy, and I had a Game Boy Pocket at the time. And so I actually knew about.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's So my friends from middle school and I would be battling or trading during breakfast time and during lunch period. And then we would for the people who would talk about the anime, they would talk about the newest episode that happened. And I even mentioned this before on the podcast, both of them actually. I talked about one back around 2016. This was when Pokemon was celebrating its 20th anniversary. So mm-hmm. I actually saw Pokemon the first movie as a field trip.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so the reason why was because we went to a very, very small middle school, and we rarely, if ever, went on any trips. I lived in New York at the time, and the trips that we would go to was like maybe like a museum or something like that. So the very, very few times in which we would go outside of something educational for a field trip was definitely when Pokemania was like hugely popular, and the teachers knew of how popular it was, considering that they used to see us, you know, on our Game Boys and trading or battling. So they definitely took us out on the field trip, and they even because that we were like the only school who was there during the morning, and they got us like a whole bunch of the cards as opposed to just giving us one card. So we had like multiple copies of each of the four cards.
Wow.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm not joking.
It's like the Yu-Gi-Oh thing.
Yeah.
It's like the thing they did with the Yu-Gi-Oh movie when they gave out the, I don't remember what the cards, was it like the Egyptian gods or something? I don't know. But whatever was in the movie, but I don't think we did that.
No.
Well, I mean, I never saw the Yu-Gi-Oh movie in theaters. I did see Dark Side of Dimensions in theaters, and I did get the Obelisk the Tormentor card, but I didn't get
any. Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, I didn't get anything else. I don't think they gave anything else as far as I know, but yeah, that's the only card I got. But I didn't get like, you know, multiple copies of like the Pikachu or the Mewtwo cards or anything like that. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think when watching the anime, now, I just want to preface this by saying that I have not caught up with the anime. The last anime episode that I remember, I think this was like when Ash was done with Hoenn, and he was just about to go over to the battle frontier. At that point, I was already like way past high school, entering into college. So I was like, yeah, I saw everybody around me who was kind of like done with Pokemon because they were moving on to other anime that was like hugely popular, like whether it be One Piece was hugely popular. There was Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was Dragon Ball Z was like really reaching Inuyasha, Cowboy Bebop. So a lot of other anime were like, you know, starting to pile up in terms of popularity for the older crowd. And people just saw Pokemon as like kid stuff, and they just like broke away from it. So I did the same thing, admittedly, where I didn't play Ruby and Sapphire, and I never seen anything past the last bit of the Pokemon Advanced series. I mean I knew of it from afar, from like younger people who would say about like they got into like Diamond and Pearl and stuff like that, but I didn't get back into the franchise until they previewed X and Y, and they were showing off like the Mega Evolutions and the 3D graphics, and I was like, oh, that looks so cool. And they did the Pokemon competitions, and then Pokemon Origins and Pokemon Go, so that really like brought me back in. So breaking away from all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah, what about your other, did you guys like follow the anime and even like the franchise, all the stuff that was going on, or did you guys eventually did take breaks and then got back into it like years later?
So there definitely was a time when Leek and I thought we were falling out of the Pokemon anime, and that was around like Gen 3. So we kind of figured, maybe this isn't for us, but it wasn't long after that we hopped right back in.
Yeah,
but like
2 weeks.
There was definitely, yeah, exactly. It was like nothing. But like there was a time, like, because I would bring my cards to school and like trade with friends, and so would Malik. But there was definitely a time when I stopped bringing like my deck because like no one else was doing it. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just keep it home then. But I mean, with Malik, just the two of us would like keep up, so we were fine. And that's when like Malik, if you want to talk about like how we started watching like Japanese episodes and
so
whatnot.
Yeah, when we let's see, so we were watching Diamond and Pearl, right? And then when the Sinnoh League started, we were like, we can't wait for the English dub to get here, because we want to see the Sinnoh League now. So
that's when
we started watching Diamond and Pearl subbed, and then we've been doing that ever since to catch up with the show, and that's how we follow the show now. But with Black and White, we did fall out a little bit because don't get me started on Black and White. Like, Black and White is not the worst thing in the world that I've ever seen, but it was just kind of rough. It started out kind of cool, but then some things happened, and then when X and Y was starting up, then we got back into it, and we haven't stopped ever since. we've just been keeping up week to week to week. We just saw an episode, the most recent one, just before we started this podcast, actually.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So yeah, now we can finally get started with discussing about the anime. So yeah, there's a lot of anime episodes of Pokemon. I mean, that's to be expected for a franchise that has lasted for this long and one of the biggest media franchises in all of Japan. So I guess we can, you know, go, you know, start with chronologically as much as we can, you know, because I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about each and every single one of the series. So yeah, I guess we can start off with the Kanto series. So going in from like the original Pokemon, you know, where everything started, where Satoshi, or Ash Ketchum as he's known in the US, you know, he starts off with his journey and he gets his Pikachu, and then along the way he just travels all around Kanto and meets up with you know, Kasumiya Takeshi, or Missy and Brock if you want to, you know, go with the American versions, meet up with Team Rocket. And then you know, as time goes on, he starts catching various Pokemon, and he starts befriending a lot of rivals and, you know, going through all the crazy adventures. So, yeah, I guess we can get things started with, like, our thoughts of each of the incarnations of the anime. So I guess I'll start things off because I don't really have that much to say regarding about it. So I think that when watching it, you know, especially since I was familiar with some anime, I mean, the first anime that I got introduced to was Sailor Moon. And, you know, it was like a very fun Monster of the Week kind of episode. And then Dragon Ball Z led more into, like, you know, the more serious story-driven aspects. And then Pokemon was like later on, and it was definitely akin to like something much lighter and much funnier, and definitely, you know, focusing on a story. It kind of like combined the two a little bit. And I was familiar with the game, so I was like really looking forward to when, you know, he would go to Pewter City and would be visiting the museum, or, you know, going into the gym and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they expanded it a little bit. They gave more into the story, which I thought was pretty interesting. And, you know, this interesting interpretation of red and green or blue. And, you know, giving them characters. And I think that the expansion was like pretty interesting. And I think that I want to preface by saying that I don't hate 4Kids. I really don't. Because I know that there's a lot of people who do. There's a lot of people who do. And I remember when I was in college that when the concept, I know, the strange concept of like English dubs can be good. Like, what? And then people were making fun of 4Kids. And I remember this hate was like piling all over the internet, like as soon as I was done with college. I mean, I graduated from college in 2008. So this was when 4Kids was like on the verge of being done, and the only thing that they were working on was like Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. And then people were like saying, yeah, well, you know, they kind of deserved it because, you know, they were treating anime like a kiddie thing, and, you know, anime is supposed to be like a little bit more serious, and like we you know, it's like catering to like, oh, the American audience won't get it. And I can understand that. I can completely understand that they were trying to ease kids into anime, because it was, you know, distribution of anime was brand new, and we were still getting accustomed to like Japanese culture and the way that the traditions of Japanese people are, and how they, you know, different types of food and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. And I think that, you know, for the limit, and I'm sure that there was a lot of limitations that they had to do, like, okay, we have to call rice balls donuts. And I mean, Sailor Moon did it first, by the way. So.
I know. Oh, so confusing as a child. That is not a donut. Like, what?
I know. I have never seen a triangle-shaped white donut. I have yet to see one.
Exactly.
Now, there's like there's an interesting story about that. Like, I don't know what like the guys at Sailor Moon were thinking, but Michael Hegney, who was like the voice of Psyduck and Charmander and things like that, he was also in charge of like, he was the voice director and did a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And when he did donuts, he was just like, he said like not too long ago, he thought like, it's not that he didn't like Japanese culture or anything, but he thought like, maybe this is what like a donut would be like in the Pokemon world, or something that would be easier for the kids in America to understand. Because it's like, what is this thing? Oh, in Pokemon, it's like a donut. I can see, and he's like, I can see why people didn't like that, and I'm sorry. It wasn't out of malice or anything.
I mean,
like that.
I think it depends on what the edit is. Like, I think the donut's harmless, but I mean, to see, like, you remember when they painted over, like, I think it was a rice ball, but like, you can't make a foot long sandwich roll down a hill like horizontally.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I really don't know what that was about.
Like, they were trying to, it was just a rolling rice ball down a hill someone had dropped, and then they just painted over like a hoagie and made it roll down this hill, and that was in like Gen 3?
Yeah, that was like Morrissey.
Right? Like,
give me back my sandwich right now!
My goodness.
Oh, that was so great.
Which is so weird because like, even like way before then, even in Kanto, they were talking, sometimes they would call rice balls rice balls, sometimes they would call them ice cream sandwiches, and
yeah,
and so like, the consistency was really
the consistency, weird, if you're gonna try to mask it, right?
Like when Brock was making rice balls, there is no way they could make that a donut because he actually was making rice balls. He had a thing of rice, so it's like, okay, I guess we're calling them rice balls.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, and I can understand that, you know, this was like the mindset of 4Kids. I mean, they didn't want to confuse the audience because, I mean, I know that technically we had other Japanese properties introduced in America. We had Akira, Speed Racer, they were familiar with Astro Boy, I get it. But I guess maybe for like a more general audience, like a more wider appealing audience, they would want to soften the blow of all of these, you know, like clashing cultures that they would not be familiar with. I think I even remember reading like an excerpt from The Rise and Fall of Pokemon that was written like over a decade ago, where I have not read it. I just read like a quick excerpt from it, where they were talking about the reason why Pokemon caught on for a lot of kids was because there was not a lot of franchises that they were like really gravitating to. Like Power Rangers was already at the point in which they were kind of tapped out. Like a lot of people were just like seeing like the same stuff being played over and over again. And even with all the ripoffs that try to cash in on the popularity of Power Rangers, like there was like Tattoo Teenage Aliens from Outer Space, and even I know.
Oh jeez, yeah.
that show existed. Yeah. And then even like Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation, try to ride in on the Power Rangers phenomenon. And they needed something new. They needed something to cater towards like the American audience. It's like, you know, what's going to be the next big hit? And, you know, then they heard of how successful Pokemon was in Japan, and so they decided to bring it over. And, you know, look where it led up to, around from the late 90s to the early to mid 2000s. So the anime was also a major help as well. So anyway, going back into the anime. So yeah, I think that when looking back on the original episodes featuring the, you know, the Kanto story, where, you know, Ash, Misty, and Brock would be traveling, and they would be, you know, going through their ups and downs. They'll be catching various Pokemon. They'll be going through a lot of wacky, zany adventures. I think that the humor of the characters and the chemistry of them is what makes them hold up, is that they had such personality and chemistry to them that you were really intrigued of what their adventure was going to be, that they all had their own motivation, where, you know, Brock wanted to be a breeder and Misty wanted to go out and, you know, make a name for herself as not being overshadowed by her sisters. And Ash wanted to prove to Gary that he was going to be the Pokemon master, and they all had motivations. And that I think that's what made people really tune in. And Team Rocket is also really great. Like, they are such hilarious villains. They remind me a lot of the Pilaf gang in Dragon Ball, in which they're like very incompetent, but they're just so lovable that they try to be evil that you can't just help but not root for them. And, you know, that the backstories of them are really intriguing. Like, you know, that James comes from a rich family, and they want him to marry into a girl that looks resoundingly like Jessie, even though that she acts nothing like her. And, you know, he wants to get away and wants to be free. And Jessie's mom is from Team Rocket, and she, you know, has to live up to her legacy. And Meowth, you know, learned how to speak because he was attracted to another Meowth. And, you know, they all had interesting backstories, and they weren't necessarily the bad guy. They try to steal Pikachu because they think it's rare and it's an amazing Pokemon, even though that, I guess maybe technically it is true, because I think the only way you can catch Pikachu is like in that one spot in Viridian Forest. So I can understand it back then of why it was like, you know, we had to catch it, which that's what I thought the reason was, because I mean, you know, I didn't find any other Pikachus in any other spot other than that spot in that, you know, bush in Viridian Forest. So maybe that's why they thought they wanted to catch it, but
I never thought about that, actually. That's
because, like, Pikachu can also be found in the power plant, but I always thought they thought Pikachu was rare because when it used like Thundershock, it blew up the Pokemon Center, and it's like no regular Pikachu could do that.
Yeah, like he was just this really powerful Pikachu, and I mean,
there's been just other coughing smoke
later examples in the anime, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, you are right about the power plant, but to be fair, I played Yellow first, so I didn't.
Pikachus anywhere.
Exactly right. So I mean, that's the only that's the only place where I knew that there was going to be Pikachus over there. So other than that spot in Viridian Forest, so I guess it makes a lot of sense because that's where they meet Team Rocket at the Viridian Pokemon Center. Anyway, yeah. So I think that the storyline, and I know a lot of people, you know, they have their opinions about like, you know, which version is better, and you know, there's still a lot of people who talk about like, you know, why Pokemon was such a great big hit that it was, because not only had humor, not only did it have a continuing storyline that people can be able to gravitate to every week, not only did it have like a new Pokemon to introduce to the kids that, you know, they would be able to you know about, okay, this is going to be my personal favorite because it did this in this episode, and you know, when I played it in the game, it helped me, you know, pass this gym leader or something. So yeah, I mean, as a concept, I think it really worked. And as for whether it's better, you know, if this is like the definitive, like, you know, version of the anime compared to like the other ones that were to come, I don't know, but I personally think that, you know, for a starting point, it's actually really good, and it sets the bar pretty high in terms of the character dynamics and the way that the story turns out. I was a bit disappointed, admittedly, when, you know, Ash's Charizard didn't obey Ash during the Pokemon Champion Leagues, and you know, he lost.
Brother.
And yeah. I was not happy about that. I mean, Ash could have like easily like maybe switched out a different Pokemon, I don't know, but still. Oh. I mean, I wasn't too crazy about it, to be quite honest. I mean, I was actually kind of disappointed with it, but and then I'm sure that there were some other episodes that, you know, was like, it was just filler to like build up the characters, or like, we need to show off this Pokemon or anything like that. But, you know, that's to be expected with a lot of anime. But other than that, I mean, I think that I really do appreciate what they were trying to do in terms of, you know, bringing in this whole universe to these kids and introducing it to them in a way that's very easy to understand. And it's a way that it really wants to gravitate your imagination to saying, I want to be that person, and I want to have a group of Pokemon, and I want to go into that journey. It's like Middle Earth or Narnia, in which you want to be able to go out there and explore.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of putting it. Like, just Pokemon just has like this way of I'm kind of at a loss for words right now, but it's just got like this really fun, inviting sense of adventure. And especially like early on in the Kanto series, there's like a hint of danger everywhere you go, but there's also a lot of fun to be had as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the St. Anne episode, in which, like, you think they would be going on a nice cruise ship, and, you know, in the games, that's where you got cut, and then it just went away. But no, I mean, we have, like, a Poseidon Adventure situation in which the ship is about to sink, and it's like, oh, man, we need to get out of there. But then we have this Gyarados coming in, and, oh, no, what are we going to do? Mm. So, you know, there's one example, and then there's the other example I can think of, in which when they're heading over to Lavender Town so that Ash can be able to catch a ghost Pokemon to fight against Sabrina, and then Sabrina is holding Brock and Misty hostage in the dollhouse. So I you know, there's a lot of tension in here for sure, and there's also a lot of funny moments too, like, you know, the dynamic with Team Rocket is always a blast to watch, and, you know, just, you know, watching James perform such crazy over the top things, like when he dressed up as the Flaming Moltres. I think even Eric Stewart mentioned that in a panel where he said that that's probably his favorite line ever, when he was saying like, you know, what's your favorite line? And they always would say, Brock's line from the third Pokemon movie, I'm going to turn this frying pan into a drying pan. And then he said, no, my favorite line is from James, where he says, I'm a Flaming Moltres. And I thought that that's pretty hilarious.
It is hilarious. I remember when I showed that episode to my younger cousin, our younger cousin once, and when we got to the Flaming Moltres episode, which is a Johto episode, by the way.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He was just dying of laughter. It was hilarious. And then like James sends out Victory Bell, and then when Victory Bell is about to eat him, he kicks it away because he's got this like sudden burst of confidence, and we just burst out laughing. Like, are you serious?
That's awesome.
It's just like really zany, you know, like you said, watching the anime is like really fun, and just seeing how all these characters interact with each other despite their varying like backgrounds and whatnot, it's just really fun to watch. And things like that, kind of, I like to say, it stays true for like the following generations. Like you have a lot of standout characters, like in Gen 6, that was Bonnie and why can I not remember his name?
Clement,
thank you. I always flip to their Japanese names first and that messes me up. But yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, but no, it still stays the same way. And that's why like all these years later, still watching it, playing it, you know.
And then when someone shows up later, it's like, oh my goodness, this person is coming back. I can't believe this. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's been happening a lot lately.
But like, yeah, but then there's like, I can't think of any notable examples, but like, it would only be for people who have been watching Pokemon since it like started, but like a lot of retcons in the show
that kind of don't
make sense later on.
Like, let's see, because the long-running anime, even shorter ones, have a lot of retcons. Like, don't even get a start on Dragon Ball Z and how many retcons that show has.
Very true, very true. Like,
Oh, boy, yeah.
I'm going to have to do a Dragon Ball podcast eventually, but yeah, there's a lot of continuity errors in that one, and fans are not happy. But anyway, moving on. Anyway, so I think that with the first series of episodes of Pokemon featuring the Kanto characters, there's a lot of moments that a lot of people always bring up. They always bring up when, you know, Pikachu's saying goodbye to, you know, to Ash because he wants to stay with the other
Pikachu.
The other Pikachus. There's the Bye Bye Butterfree episode where, you know, Ash says goodbye to Butterfree, and you know, there's everybody brings that up. Everybody says that, you know, when it comes to Pokemon episodes, that episode always makes me cry. And you know, that's actually interesting because I know that, you know, I mean at least for the Americans, I mean, we didn't get the proper season one finale of Sailor Moon where they all died, but
what?
No, it's true.
Wait, what?
No, I'm serious.
Hold on.
They all died.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the original Sailor Moon arc, where, you know, the 90s Sailor Moon, not Sailor Moon Crystal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, anyway. So basically, you know, when Queen Beryl is, you know, releasing the final power and, you know, and each of the Sailor Guardians are like fighting off and, you know, trying to get over to the last bit of the lair where it's located in a frozen area. And slowly, one by one, they do die. And then, but then they get resurrected. Yeah, I know. Oh. It's crazy.
Okay.
There's a great blogger out there known as Tuxedo Unmasked who talked about the effect that it had on Japan, even to the point in which a girl went through like post-traumatic stress disorder where she was depressed. And her father had to explain, you know, that the girls are not dead, that, you know, they come back in the episode. It's just that they have amnesia afterwards. So didn't happen in the manga, by the way. So
interesting.
Oh, they just made it even more gruesome in the anime. That's kind of weird. Like,
yeah, I know, right? It's like Naoko Takeuchi didn't even write this, and yet this was allowed. It's like, okay, whatever. Anyway, so
It's good to go. Whatever.
Yeah, sure. Like, this anime and the manga are running at the same time, but that's okay. We could just tweak these things up, and nobody.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I think that Pokemon, I think it, you know, if you're talking about continuity errors, I think that it does kind of make sense because they're based off of games. And other than Pokemon Origins, where it does adapt from the games.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah.
Where I think that they try to like stretch out the story. It's like, okay, you know, this kid is in Pallet Town, and then he goes over to the Viridian Forest. So in the Viridian Forest, you catch bugs, and then you go over to Pewter City. It's like, okay, what can we do to expand the story? Okay, how about if the character meet up with a group of Spearow and Pharaoh, and the bike gets fried up to a crisp, and then the girl follows him around, who actually is the Cerulean gym leader, and we won't know about that until we get there, so, you know, stay tuned, folks. And then there's this organization that comes in, even though that the organization doesn't come in until they reach over to Cerulean, they reach over to Mount Moon. So, that's okay. We can introduce them a little earlier. That's fine. Okay, so now we have Pewter City. Okay, we can just cut off the whole side plot of the museum. That doesn't matter. Let's just focus on the character of the gym leader himself and how he has this tragic backstory about his mom having to, marry multiple men, and then she eventually leaves, and then the gym leader is raising a big family. Right. and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I guess that they try to expand the story of the games, because even the games itself, because it's on a handheld, and because, you know, I'm sure that they, you know, they had a lot of limitations back then, and they had a lot of changes of what the final product would be, that it's almost astonishing. So I guess maybe they needed to expand the story more so that it wouldn't just be like this one character going on this one journey. Otherwise it would be pretty short.
It's an expansion and it's like an adaptation, a loose adaptation, you would say. And I can just imagine like people who like know the original Red, Blue, and Yellow music by heart, and then they listen to the anime and they hear like these beautifully orchestrated versions of what they heard in the games. I cannot imagine what that must have been like for someone, like some Japanese kid or someone in North America. They know, like, you know, the, just like Route One or Viridian City, and then they hear like violins and beautiful. It's like, whoa! It's like the game come to life in a way.
Oh,
and
yeah, it's absolutely.
So cool.
Yeah,
really cool.
And like with the anime, you kind of get an idea of like as a kid, it's like, man, if Pokemon was real, I imagine it'd be something like this, just because you can see all the characters interacting with each other and the emotion that goes into it, and like just the way they ramp up the battles. You know, if you're playing the games, like, don't get me wrong, I like them, but you know, it's pretty like static. But like from the show, you get all the dynamic like animation they do. Like, they put a lot into Pokemon. Even like today, the animation goes really crazy, and it's very much worth watching.
Oh yeah,
it's never
for sure.
Been better.
Oh, I've seen, you know, previews of it, especially with the new one that's going to, the new movie that's going to be coming out. It looks really, really
good. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Movies
it does.
Look great.
It does.
Yeah. I, now that we're on the subject of music, I got to say that the music in Pokemon, especially with the first series, is just absolutely amazing. Whether it be that it's done by 4Kids because they couldn't pay for the distribution rights, or whether that it came from the actual Japanese anime itself, it's actually done really well. And the theme song is still remembered by a lot of people.
I would say the first theme song is good, but it's definitely not my favorite. No, that would probably be like one of the Hoenn songs for sure. But yeah.
Oh yeah. I actually listened to the Pokemon Advance theme songs, because I was just like, okay, I'm doing this podcast, so I want to like listen to the theme songs of every single one, all the way from like Kanto all the way to like the newest one. And I have to say that there's been some hit and misses with the you know, each and every single one of them. Like, yes, the first one is iconic, and then the second one where they introduce Tracy, we'll get to that in a minute. It's all right. It's not the best. I don't really care too much about it, to be quite honest, but it's fine. It's fine. And then the Johto one,
honestly,
is, go ahead.
Like, when it comes to like the openings, I like most of the older ones, and then there's kind of like a cutoff, like when Gen 5 kind of rolled around. I think they only 30 seconds, or were they just felt kind of flat.
They felt
really flat. Yeah,
like Black and White start. No, when the Battle Frontier started, that's when the intros got cut to 30 seconds, but that's just because of like network standards. You know, like, you get 30 seconds for
right.
It's no longer 1 minute, but
it's no longer a theme song. It's like 30 seconds. Like,
yeah,
come on.
It's better than regular show.
I'm getting excited about this.
It's better than regular show where it's just a wet fart for the intro.
That is a composition masterpiece.
People are going to get nostalgic for that very soon.
Yeah, it's like when you're listening to the opening theme song of Cyber 6. Like, if you listen to the original Canadian version compared to the US Fox Kids version.
Oh, yeah, that's not great at all.
What's the Fox Kids version?
Oh, yeah. I did an almost hour-long video discussing about Cyber 6 for my Heroic Jummer Junk video, and I did comparisons between when Fox Kids was brought in, you know, brought Cyber 6 to be aired, and the Canadian version. It is butchered beyond belief.
Yeah.
Oh no.
The Fox Kids version is a censored version of what we got in Canada, and the intro and the show itself add like a couple of extra like cartoony sound effects, but Fox Kids didn't even air the entirety of Cyber 6 before they aired maybe 8
what?
Episodes and that was it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
There's only like what, 13?
Yeah, 8 out of 13. Yeah. And there was some episodes that didn't even air because, well, they didn't air the episode featuring Yashimoto because they thought that he was a racist stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Which, speaking of racist stereotype, that was the reason, from what I understand. I don't know if this is true, but that's the reason why they cut off Brock from the lineup.
Yeah, there's actually...
What?
No, there was, remember, really? Like, there used to be, like, an interview where it was, like, they said... one of the old storyboarders of Pokemon said that they got rid of Brock because they were worried that he might look like a racist stereotype, not of black people or anything like that, but of like Japanese people actually, because he had like closed slanted eyes.
Oh.
And then that's when they brought in Tracy, who looked a lot friendlier and more accepting. But then they realized like maybe, yeah, when the Orange Islands was over and then they saw like people watching, they realized nobody really cared. So when the Orange Islands was over, they brought him back. That's exactly what he said.
Wow. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's like, now here's the thing. I can understand this because I even made this statement in my Cyber Six video where around the same time when the episode with Yashimoto was banned in the US was around the same time in which people were talking about Jinx being an African-American stereotype. Mm-hmm. And then there was also the talks about like, oh, you know, Skull Kid from Majora's Mask was, you know, the whole blackface thing. It's like, okay, we need to change it. So I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Anyway, so I can kind of see where, you know, people were at the time in which like, you know, we needed to be careful of how we portrayed certain characters. But I think that, you know, due to, you know, people actually saying, no, we weren't offended by Brock. I think that's why they brought him back. So I'm glad they did, because I mean, I don't know how people feel about Tracy, but personally for me, I just thought he was just incredibly bland.
That's why they brought him in. Tracy's okay. I don't hate him like most other people, but yeah, he's no Brock. He's nice. He's friendly. He's
kind of forgettable. I mean, if I'm being honest.
He did get Scyther, and that's like the one thing everybody remembers. And at the time he had Meryl, which at the time nobody really knew what that was like. Oh, man,
oh yeah, I actually have a really interesting story about that. Do you remember when Meryl was called Pika Blue?
Uh-huh.
Pika Blue? I was just gonna say that.
There was a lot of rumors going on when Pokemon Gold and Silver were coming out. There was like all these like rumors about like, oh man, there's like these new Pokemon that are gonna be coming out and that kind of stuff. And I kid you not, they Smoochum?
Yeah.
For Jinx or something?
No, I don't think we saw Smoochum.
No, I remember this. It was a bird. There we go. Okay, so I remember. Okay, so I don't know why this happened. So there was a rumor going on because Britney Spears was really popular, and they thought that the Pokemon was called Britney Spiro.
What?
I know, it's stupid.
Oh my goodness.
They literally thought that there was going to be a Pokemon out there called Britney Spiro because Britney Spears was really popular.
There's a very interesting thing about that. Like, the guy who translated a lot of Pokemon's earlier stuff, all his text, his name is Nob Ogasawara. And in Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, there is a Spiro that you can trade for something else. And the Spiro's nickname is Oni-chan in Japanese because its Japanese name is Oni Susume. So it's like little demon, like demon bird.
Sure.
So it's like Oni-chan. And then the guy who translated it, he thought about calling it Britney Spiro at the time.
Oh my goodness.
But then Pokemon was like, don't do that. If you do that again, we're gonna fire you. It's like, okay.
That's great.
Yeah, so yeah, and I guess somebody thought Hoot Hoot was Britney Spiro. I don't have any idea why, but that was hilarious. But yeah, I think that now the Orange Islands, I guess I want to briefly talk about this. I think that the Orange Islands idea, it's like, I mean, this wasn't in the games. I mean, at least I don't think it was until, what was it, like Fire Red and Leaf Green? Did they bring this in?
They brought the Sevii Islands.
Yeah, they brought something like that. So they brought in a different type of islands to go to after Kanto. So I think that the Orange Islands, I like the idea. I like the idea of like traveling to different islands and, you know, getting like a bad shape, like a shell, and then, you know, participating in like the Orange Island Leagues. And I think that maybe they actually would do this in Sun and Moon, like at least a precursor to it. So I think that you know, Pokemon at least had some semblance of an idea of this. I thought the idea was interesting, but I don't know, just something about it just didn't really appeal to me, especially since, you know, you just see a lot of the same locations over and over again. And I guess it didn't really help much that there weren't a lot of new Pokemon featured. I mean, the one that I did remember was the episode in which they did go over to the island where all the Pokemon were pink because of the fruit that they ate. Mm-hmm. That was actually pretty cool. That a diet can actually change the look of the Pokemon. Again, you know, going into like the Alola region in which you had like the Alolan cell Pokemon and they how different they looked. And I thought that was an interesting idea. But I mean, I don't remember like really much of anything else after that.
So like Orange Islands, I'll help fill in the holes just in case. Like, I don't remember every single episode about the Orange Islands, but I do know that like when Orange Islands did something interesting, it was really cool because Orange Islands was just like a gap because Gold and Silver got delayed, but we managed to get some cool stuff out of it. Like, we got Pokemon 2000, of course, out of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ash mm-hmm. got Snorlax. That's when Charizard finally started listening to Ash. Misty got Poliwag, which would eventually become a Politoed. I already said, did I say Ash got Lapras too?
Yeah, you didn't. No. But yeah, he did. You're right. He did get Lapras.
Yeah, like we got stuff. It's technically filler, but it's filler that pays off. Like even to this day, like Ash's Snorlax is still around. He saw Lapras in Johto, things like that.
Yeah, and technically, like his first like league win, even though you know, like some people don't count it, but like that battle
with Drake,
to like demonstrate the power of like land or yeah, sorry, ooh, was it Drake?
Yeah,
Drake. And his Dragonite having like how many more than four moves, and it was like 10. This is ridiculous, but it's like it's just this 10. Yeah, so it's like he's this big of like an obstacle, and it's like this is crazy. And then Ash, you know, he still comes out. It was really really cool to watch.
Yeah, it was a really cool like team effort with all of his Pokemon. Like Lapras was there, Tauros was there, and then there was like this constant back and forth. That was one of the few battles from my childhood, like when I was like 5 years old, that I remember seeing at the time. And then when I rewatched it years later, I was like, I remember how cool this was. It's still really cool now.
Yeah, I did like the ideas of that it's not just, you know, battles. It could be obstacles. And that's actually really interesting. It's pretty refreshing that it's not just, I mean, we were already familiar with it with the games. It's like, okay, you know, the gym leader has like two or three or even six Pokemon. And then, you know, depending on how many Pokemon you caught, you get to be able to battle them. And the fact that they were able to use these interesting obstacles, it's like, it makes it different. And the reason why it's different is because it's a different league. And I was like, that's interesting. I like that. I just wish that there was more of that.
Well, I mean, we sort of got stuff like that in Sun and Moon, where it wasn't just battles, and the way Ash got his Z crystals, the way he got the Z crystals and did his trials were like completely different to how it was usually done. So a lot of people a lot of people said like when Alola came out and they did all the different things with like regional variants and island challenges, that it's sort of just like the Orange Islands, except if it was an actual game. And it's like, yeah, the Orange Islands sort of did this before, but this is on a grander scale.
Yeah, and from what I've seen, you know, of its execution, a lot of people actually really like Sun and Moon.
Yeah, Sun and Moon is great. It was a nice like change of pace from like the really action-packed shonen filled X and Y. It's like, do we just do that again? But it was something completely different, and I was like, I don't know how they're gonna do this. And the whole the art style change was slightly radical, but we eased into it, and it's like, man, it's still Pokemon, it's just done a little differently, and it's great.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will say for the beginning of Sun and Moon, yes, there was the design change, which I didn't like at first. And then there was the whole, we don't have gym leaders anymore, which was a completely out of nowhere because, you know, it changed the games and the show. But the games made it work. It's still a very similar system. And in the show, like they do with every other adaptation of the games, they just expand on it. And I mean, it does still have like a lot of the action-packed show and stuff, especially leading up towards the end, but it's like a really big, nice payoff after all the just the adventures during the show. I mean, he did the he was in like that Ultra Guard,
the Ultra Guardian thing stuff,
that
yeah.
he did, and they would,
where they
yeah yeah when they would just fly around him. Yeah, they were basically like Pokemon Rangers from like Gen 3, and it's like, you know what, that's a really cool interpretation of the Pokemon anime. It's like if they were completely different characters, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Sun and Moon had a really good like family bond as well. Like when we saw like all the new characters, like Mallow, Lana, Kiawe, what's Sophocles mm-hmm. and all those guys were like, how are they going to balance all of these characters? And it's like, are they all going to get like 5 Pokemon each? That sounds like a nightmare. But no, each one only gets one or two max. And that makes sense because that would be so much Pokemon you would have to keep track of.
And
No, they focused on the human characters and the one or two Pokemon they had. Each one of them got some kind of backstory and screen time, and you felt more closely connected to them. Like, I can't tell you much about Brock's Geodude, but I could tell you a lot about, like, Kiawe's Turtonator or Lana's Primarina or something like that. It's really interesting to see.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think the one thing that I did see from Sun and Moon that really like sparked a huge buzz on social media was when Ash and the gang went over to the island where they interacted with like dead spirits, and then Mallow was able to see her mother for the first time in a long time. I saw that scene with no context whatsoever. And the scene in which when she saw her mother for the first time and she felt guilt that she wasn't there when her mother died because she was angry that she was sick all the time and mm-hmm. that, you know, she was able to like say her apologies and all that kind of stuff. It broke me down.
Wow.
Like, I just thought it was so amazing. I mean, like, the fact that, you know, Pokemon was able to go into that direction, it's like, wow, I didn't think that they were going to, even though I've heard people saying their complaints about Pokemon, saying it's either gone for too long, or when Sun and Moon was just a concept and they saw, like, the new art style, they were, like, kind of iffy with it, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand, but, you know, I mean, how is it going to sustain its legacy and its power if it's going to do the same thing over and over again, which is why I think a lot of people kind of got tired of it in the first place.
It's funny because Pokemon does indeed have a formula, but over the years it has done so much with that formula where it's like, yeah, I know this is going to happen, but they did this in such a way where I didn't see that coming. And Sun and Moon, even though it took on like a much lighter, more laid back slice of life kind of thing, it dealt with death in ways that I never would have thought I would have seen from Pokemon. Like when we saw the Stoutland episode, people say they cried at Butterfree. I shed a tear when like Stoutland passed away. That was really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that definitely feels like something Pokemon might like sweep under the rug. But like when Ash like asked, he's like, "What happened?" And then Kukui just says like, "No, he's gone." And it's like, "What do you mean? Like he died? Like Pokemon don't die?"
Yeah,
or at least when the movies, I guess they do. Like but when, you know what I mean.
Like when Stoutland was like in the hospital, like Nurse Joy and Ash were talking, and even though like you couldn't hear it, they knew what was going to happen. It's like, yeah, Stoutland doesn't have much longer. And it's like, oh, I understand. Even Ash is like, yeah, I get that. I understand.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
I know, right? And here's the thing, like Pokemon deaths are, you know, we know about them since Gen 1 because that's what Lavender Town is. But in the anime, it was never brought up at all because Lavender Town, it was more, you know, focusing on, you know, Ash trying to catch a ghost type so that he can fight against Sabrina. So the whole thing was hilarious. And the only time in which we did see Lavender Town in its true form was when we either played the games or we saw it in Pokemon Origins. So the fact that they were able to even have this in Sun and Moon, from what you're telling me, and that a Pokemon actually died who was like really crucial to the story, it's shocking that they were able to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, death has always, not always, but it has been touched upon in little areas now and then throughout the show, but Sun and Moon was the one where it was like, you see a Pokemon, like, actually, you don't see it die, but it does die, and it's not the only one that dies in the show. There's like at least 3 other Pokemon through flashbacks or like through the passage of real time where they pass away, and it was so interesting to see how they dealt with how a show like Pokemon, which is geared towards kids and things like that, was able to deal with the topic of death so well and so mature.
And I guess, well, you know, thinking back into all the other things you were saying earlier about how you know, they were able, even though that they stayed with the formula, they're able to do like a lot of changes. One of the things that, you know, I first saw with Pokemon Advance was that they introduced the concept of contests, which I knew about contests because, you know, in Gold and Silver, there was the bug catching contest. So I thought it was going to be something similar to that, but no, it turns out that, you know, for people who don't like battles, they can actually show off the Pokemon's beauty and showcase, its style and its grace and its elegance and, you know, unique ways of battling. And I thought that that was actually really interesting. I knew people who didn't care for it. They just said, we just want the battles. But it's like, hey, there's more layers to it than just that. And, you know, I, from what I understand, mm-hmm. there's been like, you know, various people who have practiced it. I mean, you have May in Advance and then Dawn and Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I, you know, because I haven't seen Diamond and Pearl, I don't know how Dawn's is compared to May's, but the fact that May is like, you know, this, she's the daughter of Norman, the gym leader. And I thought that, you know, very similar to like, I'm from what I'm familiar with Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, is that eventually you do have to fight your dad, Norman, as a gym, in a gym battle. Yeah. And I thought that that was going to happen, but instead it just goes into a completely different direction in which she doesn't really care for battling. She just wants to do these contests. And then she even meets up with a rival, Drew, for it. And I thought, okay, a different interpretation of how people train their Pokemon. That's really unique. And I think, and even Jessie got into it as well. And I thought that that was actually really cool. And she was really good at it.
She got really good in Diamond and Pearl. Like, she actually made, she got all five ribbons in Diamond and Pearl. And me and Javonte were like, wait, what? Because she kind of
sucked. Yeah, yeah.
But she made it. I think she made it to the Grand Festival. And we were like, wait, what? That's so crazy. And like, wow. Even in like X and Y, they did a similar thing. I forget what their like princess competitions. Jessie entered those along with Serena. Jessie made it. I just know that Jessie did make it to the finals of that as well, alongside Serena. I was like, you go, girl.
Yeah. What's it? I was going to say that like the contests in the show made them definitely more interesting, because when it came to the games, like contests, I could not care less about them. It just seemed like a side. Yeah. It was like a side mission or something to do. And I was just like, I don't really want to invest time in it. But yeah, when it came to the show, they had, they just made them fun. Like, and they had characters that you were always looking forward to seeing again, like Drew and Harley and somebody with an Eevee. Someone always has an Eevee in one of those contest things. Yeah. But no, I really enjoyed them in the show. I miss that they're gone, but I mean, I'm sure they'll find something else to, you know, explore for other characters to, you know, in the vein of some type of contest, just something different from battling. It's like a change of pace, and it's also keeps the show, you know, like fresh.
Yeah. Mm,
interesting.
I remember like when Dawn would lose, she lost like her first few contests, and I mean, you were like, man, Dawn really sucks right now. But that's not the point. She's just starting out, and then she eventually got better and learned things from Ash.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like Apom did some things, and then she got Apom and she learned some stuff from that. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
By the end, we were like, man, we saw her grow so much.
Interesting, because I think I remember this. I think I remember reading through this, that Dawn was like the daughter of a Pokemon contest champion, and she had to live through her legacy or something.
No, she didn't have to live up to her legacy, but it's like Dawn was just thinking, man, my mom has done so much. And I think her mom was like, it's like, don't compare yourself to me. Just keep doing what you're doing, and I know you're going to get there. And
it's just a lot of self-pressure, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, don't feel pressured by me. I did my own thing, but you do your thing. You're going to get there.
That's actually really interesting. So I really like the idea of not being pressured to live up to where you are. Very similar to May, in which, you know, she didn't have to be a Pokemon trainer, even a gym leader. She went off and did her own thing. And, you know, the same thing with Dawn, in which she didn't have to live up to her mother's legacy. So I like that idea. I like the fact that there's a self-pressure into you. I mean, it's like, you know, the reason why Ash wanted to become a Pokemon master was because he wanted to prove himself to Gary. But with Dawn and May, it's like they needed to prove it to themselves. And I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really do. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, with the other series, I'm not familiar with either Black and White or X and Y. I mean, the only connection that I do have with X and Y is that a few years ago in a convention, I did meet up with the voice actors of Ash's companions. So I did meet up with Haven Pascal, Michael Lissio Jr., and
Allison Leigh Rosenfeld.
Yes. Yeah. Allison Leigh Rosenfeld. Yeah. I did meet up with all three of them. And they were very nice people, by the way. There was like lines to meet up with them.
Wow.
I know. They were like so excited to meet up with them, especially which character did Allison play again?
She was Bonnie.
Yeah, I think they wanted to meet up with her, and they wanted to meet up with Haven. So they really wanted to meet up with them for some reason. I think that was like maybe X and Y's anime was like really popular. So it took me a while to get a picture with them. But yeah, they were like some of the nicest people that I met in the convention.
Yeah, I've spoken with a few voice actors from Pokemon in a couple of interviews, and voice actors in general, from what I've experienced, they're just some of the nicest people you ever get to meet, because they're just people. They got no egos.
No, that's true. I mean, I've done a lot of interviews myself, and I have yet to meet a person that was like legitimately like nasty to me. I mean, there was one, but I don't want to get into that. But yeah, I mean, like every single one of them was just like legitimately nice, and they really loved what they were doing, and they were happy to like provide the voices, and you know, they even had like the dolls of the Pokemon that they voiced, and I just thought that was really cool that, you know, you have like these little kids who, you know, wanted to meet up with them and, you know, wanted to ask them to do the voice and stuff like that. And I just thought of something else, is that yes, it does follow a formula, but it's so easy for a new generation of kids to get into, like even with both the games and the show, like even though that they do follow the same formula and there is kind of like a continuing story arc, is that you can get into any single one of these seasons and you won't feel completely lost, because it's just so easy for each of the series to gravitate toward like a new generation of kids. And I just think that that's interesting, because you can't do that with Dragon Ball. You could, if you go from Dragon Ball to Dragon Ball Z, maybe, but not with Dragon Ball Z to Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball GT.
Like, you can't do that with
There's like way too much. Like,
not with One Piece. You drop somebody into the middle of like the latest arc, like what is going on? Or like at the beginning of like the latest arc. But that's the great thing about Pokemon, is that each series, like Kanto, Johto, Hoenn, Sinnoh, blah, 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 is their own self-contained series. But if you've been around with the show long enough, you still get payoff if you watched stuff early on. Like the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure also does the same thing. But yeah, that's the cool thing about it. There is continuity. But what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to spin off what you said. What's interesting about that is people also say that that's the reason that older people who still follow Pokemon are kind of falling off, because it's only catering to like new generations. But I mean, I still see an appeal in it, but I can also still see where they're coming from, because a lot of people had issues with like Sword and Shield and stuff to do with like Pokemon Bank and paying for this, that extra content. But and a lot of it is because of newer generations. They always want to make sure the kids can get into it, because like that's their big market, right? But for people like us, there are some that are kind of stepping away from Pokemon because of some of their decisions. And I was curious about what you guys kind of thought about that, since we're
Yeah, I mean, that does seem to be akin for a lot of Nintendo properties, isn't it? In which, like, if you've been familiar with, like, let's just say Mario, ever since from the NES days, and then you go all the way up into, like the new Super Mario Brothers games, where it was, like, really popular for a while. And it's like, oh, you know, this stuff is too easy, or it's uninspired, or the power-ups are lame, or whatever complaints I hear online. But then, you know, you have, then you have like, you know, games like Galaxy and Odyssey that brings people back into it. And it's like, yeah, but you know, each and every single one of these installments are, you know, like for a, you know, it caters to like a certain generation or a certain demographic of kids. Same thing with Zelda, in which like, you know, I played like through the harder Zelda games, or the 2D Zelda games, or the 3D Zelda games. It's like, you know, every single one of these are, you know, standalone, and they are self-contained, and they have something that appeals to a lot of kids or any older gamers. And the same, I guess, with Pokemon is no exception, because, you know, it's a new region, new group of Pokemon, new gym leaders. I mean, the formula is still the same, but it's all done differently, and they all have their unique flavors and their unique gimmicks that, you know, draw people in, whether it be with the Mega Evolutions or the gigantic Pokemon, or whether it be with the contest, right, or whether it be with you know, the Delta episodes or anything like that. Like they all follow the same formula, but they bring something new to the table that any kid can be able to say that that's their first introduction, and they would not feel lost or confused about anything.
Yeah.
When it comes to the anime, I think that it follows the same principles. Yes, they do have the same formula in which, like, you have Ash and his, you know, small group of Pokemon going over to a different region. He meets up with different companions, and they, you know, they do the same thing where they go to different gyms, and, you know, they meet up with different characters along the way. But it's easy to understand, because what isn't broken, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But I know I can see
Exactly, yeah.
But I can see a lot of people saying, yeah, but I'm getting tired of it. I want to see something different. But then if it's too different, they're going to complain about it, saying, why isn't it the same way? Which I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, no, because especially a lot of, I guess the term Gen 1ers is what they say, didn't like the fact that a lot of Pokemon were cut out from the newer games. And they're like, we're not going to re-release this as DLC. If you see any of the old Pokemon, they'll come back later. But that is exactly what they did. And some people didn't like that. So it's kind of a mix of, like, I guess some business decisions. But as for the content, like in Pokemon itself, you know, I still like the stories and everything that's tied to it, because I'm following the show, I'm still playing the games, and I've been getting really into the TCG during all of this that's going on right now. So it's interesting to see the three different, like, ways they interpret, like, the characters. Like, you'll see some anime characters on cards, and, like, if there's any ties to the show that it has to do anything with their effects, or same in the game, same in the show. But yeah, you know, some people fall out, but I think Pokemon will still kind of go on strong.
Oh yeah, for sure. And then there's the whole talks about, like, the different companions. It's like, why can't Ash stay with Misty and Brock the entire time?
Yeah.
I think there was this one interview from one of the producers of Pokemon saying that we needed to change the female companions because we want to give the kids different eye candy, which is really sexist.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, but he doesn't work for the show anymore.
Good.
He left, like, in 2009.
Oh, geez. Like, look, thanks. if you want to say, oh, each different, you know, region means different protagonists, which they did with Yu-Gi-Oh, like, where they have Yugi, Yusei, Judai, or Jaden, if you want to say the American version. If you want to say it like that, then I can understand it. But the fact that you're saying we need to change the females because we want to give them different eye candy, it's like, that's pretty awful, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
So bad.
But I felt like When characters got replaced, like, some people are like, well, why don't they just keep Brock or something like that? Because even they knew, like, it was time for, like, Brock to go do something else. Because, like, by the time Diamond and Pearl came around, Brock was still there. And then they alluded to him being a doctor, like, doing stuff with Nurse Joy a lot more and talking to people about, like,
the Chansey and Happiny.
Brock evolving into a Chansey, Pachirisu getting sick, and then Brock not being there, and Dawn and Ash are like, oh man, what are we gonna do? And then Brock is like, well, you gotta know all these things because I might not be around. And then by the end, it's like, okay, we know what Brock wants to do. He's gotta go, so we gotta find somebody else. And it's like, I understand that. I respect that. I wouldn't just want Brock to be here and just be a relic or a rock just because, you know, he's Brock. He has to be there. Like, by the time Misty was still in Johto, she didn't have much to do. Until she was about to leave, she finally decided, like, late in Johto, I want to be a water Pokemon master. But by the time things started happening, she got a Corsola and a Politoed. It was time for her to go. But I understand why they did that.
Yeah. I think even in one of your videos, you were talking about when Takeshi Shudo was, you know, at the process of, like, you know, wanting to decide on whether they should drop Misty or Team Rocket. And they thought that Team Rocket made the show so great that it would be such a detriment that if they left, and so Misty was dropped out instead.
Yeah, I would be so upset if Misty was still around, but Team Rocket wasn't. Are you kidding me?
Now, I can understand if they want to.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah, and I can understand if they want to, you know, bring in the new teams into the limelight, like Team Flare, Team Plasma, Team Skull. I can understand if they wanted to flesh out their characters and they want to try to, you know, maybe, you know, replace Team Rocket in that sense. But still, it's not Team Rocket.
But that's the thing, though. They do some interesting things with, like, the villainous teams, like Team Galactic. There was, like, a whole, like, arc throughout the show. And when me and Javante were first watching it, we saw Team Galactic show up, like, in an episode early on, and we're like, okay, I guess this is Team Galactic, and then I guess that's all we're going to see of them for now. And it's like, oh, wait, no, they're back, and they're doing this thing now, and oh, no, they're coming back. And then the Pokemon
Hunter
they
just get, like, completely, like, intertwined.
And the payoff is amazing. A person dies, a horrible, despicable lady by the name of Pokemon Hunter J. Like, she got introduced in, like, some early episode, and we thought she was just some one-off character, but then she comes back, and then she's more of a force, and then she works with Team Galactic, and then during the whole climax of the Team Galactic arc, her ship gets shot down by the legendary Pokemon, and you see
her again.
Never
see her, oh my goodness.
You see her ship sink. You see the windows open, like, because of the water pressure. You see her goggles, like, fall into the ocean, into the lake alongside her ship. And then the ship
they let
explodes.
You know that she is dead.
She is dead. And her
that
Pokemon.
Wasn't enough.
Her Pokemon are dead, too.
Well, that's sad.
Which is unfortunate because she had a Salamence. And people, if you look up, like, her death online, it's like, man, I wish her Salamence got saved.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they dealt with human death before Pokemon death in Sun and Moon. But, yeah, I remember seeing that on just a laptop at our friend's house. And we were like, wait, what? Is she dead?
Yeah.
She's dead.
It was pretty shocking.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, and I mean, there's also the talks about the music, and you also did a video this as well, where you were talking about like the licensing and all that kind of stuff, which I saw, you know, the first like original batch of property, the first movie that I saw when getting back into the franchise, I saw Pokemon I Choose You in theaters.
Yeah.
And I, you know, getting past the whole, you know, retelling the story, I just thought that the music was just so inconsequential to anything. I didn't remember a single thing that happened in that soundtrack. And that's strange considering that I remember the music from the other movies, whether it be from the Japanese or from the English version, which I guess I need to bring up the story again. So when Pokemon the movie 2000 was coming out in theaters, a bus driver that was, you know, we were, you know, he was like really nice to me. He actually gave me a bootleg copy of the soundtrack. Yeah. This was New York, so this was like when bootlegs were pretty common. I don't know how it is, you know, back in, you know, back in the 90s in Canada, but in New York, where I was living at the time, there would be like people who would be like selling these bootleg CDs or VHSs or DVDs in the streets, and they were like really poor quality. But if you wanted to see something or hear something right away, then that's where you got it.
Wow.
I know. It was kind of interesting. And so, yeah, the cover art looked really awful. It was like a washed out version of what the cover art would be in the original soundtrack. But, you know, you had like the usual songs that would be playing in Pokemon the movie 2000, and including like the celebrity singers that they got. The Weird Al one was like really weird to me. But you had things like M2M and Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and various people. It's like people who don't, you know, they're singing songs that don't fit in a Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be caught dead in a Pokemon movie today, but I kind of miss that, when it was like, you could get a Scooby-Doo soundtrack and hear the Backstreet Boys on it. I'm just making that up, but it's like, it's a bygone era, but it was really cool. And I love those songs because of what I heard, and they're good songs. Like Christina Aguilera's You and Me Were a Miracle. It's a great song, but I wouldn't have heard that if it wasn't in Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Sure. And yeah, and going into like the other music, I mean, I think I remember Barnes & Noble. I went to a Barnes & Noble many years ago, and they even had like the Pokemon Christmas soundtrack over there.
Oh my goodness.
That's wild.
We listened to that.
Like, apparently, like, they are so popular that they would have like a Christmas soundtrack, and apparently also the Pokemon musical on Broadway, which I remember
Pokemon
seeing a lot of
Live.
The Pokemon Live, which I remember seeing a lot of advertisement for when I went to school.
Like, I wish I could have seen that.
I wish I could have seen it too. Like, I would have just been so genuinely curious as to what that would have been about.
It kind of like from what I could see on like one of the guys who was like produced the play, depending on where you were, audiences were a lot more accepting. Other audiences weren't really all that great about it. It's like, come on, guys, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Back in Their Shells tour.
Coming out of their shells.
Yeah, that's the one. Coming out of their shells tour. Yes,
that's
it's like,
great.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, this stuff is kind of, you know, weird that, you know, a kid's property would be into Broadway. But I think a lot of people are more softer to it now that SpongeBob became popular on Broadway.
Well, Javante, you saw the Spider-Man thing when you went to New York, right?
Oh my God, you saw Turn Off the Dark?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I did. It was in high school, and it's like, you know, it was cool. Like, oh, cool, Broadway. And it's like, Spider-Man, awesome. And all I can say is Spider-Man does not belong on Broadway. That was like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Wow. I've heard so many stories about that.
I think you still have the playbill too. And I checked it to see.
I do.
Maybe, I was like, is there anyone from Pokemon in this play? I just checked, but no one from Pokemon is in that play.
I doubt it. And like, we also, it's funny you mentioned the whole CD thing, because that's definitely something I ran into on New York. And some guy, you know, you have all these up and coming music artists are like, please take this, $10, $10. It's like, okay, please leave me alone. I'll take it. But
yeah. For sure. Like, well, yeah. Also, you know, in the they also had a lot more music that was like featured only in the American version, like the Poke Rap and the Pikachu soundtrack and various things.
Yeah.
I don't know how people feel about it personally, but I genuinely like it.
I love it.
Yeah, I really like it. Like, yeah, I mean, there are some songs that could be a little bit hokey and stuff like that, but I genuinely had a lot of fun with it. And I can tell that the people who were writing the music for it had a lot of fun with it too.
Yeah, you can totally tell in like the final product. Like, I know tons of people who use like the Together Forever song. They've used it at weddings. The Team Rocket's Rockin' song is a great one. My Best Friends is a good one. A lot of those songs just feel like things that you could put on the radio, and when you subtract Pokemon from them, like, yeah, they just sound like pop songs from the 90s.
They really do, yeah. I get that.
And they're good. They're really good. Well made.
Yeah, I speaking of that Team Rocket song, I was a camp counselor around my high school years, and there was actually a kid who performed that song in a talent show.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
did he have anyone to
they weren't singing. This was the camp. I was a camp counselor for teenagers and kids who were physically and mentally disabled, and so they just danced to it. They didn't sing the songs.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, but they loved it. This was like 2007 or 8. So like in akin to High School Musical being really popular, there was some kid out there who really still liked the Pokemon soundtrack, that they would dance to the Team Rocket theme song in front of their parents and everybody else's parents.
I did a duet with somebody at an anime convention, like
The karaoke.
Yeah,
thing.
We had like they have like a thing called Friday Night Karaoke where you just sing songs, and there was some guy. I was gonna do Team Rocket's Rockin' by myself, but then I saw some guy in line who was in a James outfit, and he decided to do James, and I was Jesse Meowth, and it was a blast.
That was awesome.
If you'll pardon the pun.
That was really
It was so much fun.
Oh, that I would love to do something like that. I mean, I'm not a good singer, but I still would like to try that out.
At the anime karaoke thing, I always choose a Pokemon song because it's usually something not everyone is going to know right off of the bat, or do.
Yeah, because it's typically like they typically sing like in like Japanese like theme songs, and then in comes it's like, you guys remember Pokemon, and then everyone just loses it. Like it's awesome.
I sang the Poke Rap once. I sang the song from a song from Sun and Moon. Nobody knew that one, but everyone was like losing their minds about it. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, it's true. I've seen a lot of karaoke parties whenever I go to conventions, and they're always singing the same ones over and over again. There's always a Dragon Ball song. There's always a Naruto one. There's always a Bleach one. There's always whatever anime is
like
really
Evangelion,
popular.
Like Evangelion, probably.
Evangelion,
One Piece.
Yes.
No.
Not the rap though, but
excuse. They should.
I've never heard anybody sing the rap. I've never heard anybody say rap. Although
I'll do that after this all clears up. I'm gonna go and do that.
We might have
now.
To change that.
Yeah, there we go. I think that'd be really interesting to see that. But yeah, I mean, nobody's ever sung a Pokemon song. Like, I've never seen that before. So the fact that you guys did it is pretty commendable. I'm really appreciative of you doing that.
I just want to do something. It's fun, of course, and I just want to do something that nobody else is gonna do, because it's like, yeah, no one in their right. Well, not no one in their right. I think someone did do like the song To Be a Master, and yeah, that was interesting. But no one's gonna sing like a song from Pokemon Live as Meowth and then sing it to everybody.
No,
it's like, no, I'm crazy enough to do that. So yeah, I'm the outlier here. So it's like, yeah, have fun with it.
Well, good on you guys for you know, being the brave ones out there to do that task. Yeah, so I think that wrapping things up, so all the other anime incarnations of Pokemon, such as Origins and Generations, that, you know, deviate from the actual series itself, I've seen both of them, and they're done really, really well. I really do appreciate that they were able to break away from that. And I think that there was another series that tried to do that as well, but I don't think it really caught on as much. I remember a friend of mine who really appreciated the Legend of Thunder OVA.
I don't like that OVA very much.
Fair enough.
Wait, Legend of Thunder was which one again?
That the one with Raikou.
With Ash's like supposed father in
No. That was the one with Silver.
Yeah, that's the one with Silver.
Not Silver, Gold, or Jimmy, the one.
Yeah, Gold.
Okay.
Ethan, whatever his name is.
I did that abridged version of it, Javante, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's okay.
The dub is terrible. It's terrible. It's so bad. Ugh.
I have seen it, and I do agree that the dub is pretty bad. I mean, I feel bad for Raikou, because Entei got his own movie, Suicune got its own movie, and Raikou just got an OVA that nobody remembers.
It gets this special that was just, I think 4Kids knew the writing was on the wall, because this special came out just before they were about to lose the license, so I think they just, like, haphazardly put it together or something, like their B team. It's like, Just get this out now. We don't have much time left.
And I think that one of the villains was originally supposed to be male, but then Veronica Taylor voices a female, which, oh good, we're going to go into the Sailor Moon days in which Zoisite, who's male, is going to be voiced by a female. Okay, sure.
I mean, this was 2006. Like, what? This is 2006, not 98. Or 96, whatever.
I don't know, but I do commend that they were trying to tell a different story other than, you know, the ones that we already know about. Like, okay, we're going to now focus on the Johto protagonist. Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah. I like that. The execution of the dub leaves a lot to be desired, but you know what? I mean, it's, I know. I guess that's why they didn't do that for the other, protagonists. Like, they didn't do it for, like, the black and white protagonist or the sun and moon protagonist. I don't know. But, it was a nice experiment, but I guess it didn't really stick. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that the newer stuff that they try to do, like Origins and Generations, fared out so much better, not only because that they, you know, stuck to like the stories of the games, but also the production is better, the music is better, and the dubs are way better. I saw both Origins in Japanese and English, and, you know, watching it both is, like, really awesome. I mean, the Japanese version, the fact that Junko Takeuchi is Red, it's, like, such an interesting parallel. So you have the voice of Naruto Uzumaki voicing as Red, and, you know, Pikachu, voiced by Ikuo Otani, is also Konohamaru. It's, like, that's a really interesting connection right there.
Oh, yeah!
Wait, was... No, Pikachu didn't... never mind. I was just going to say, I don't think Pikachu wasn't even in that in Origins. And I think
just for like 1 second, I'm talking about like overall voice. Like, because Ikuo Otani also voiced Konohamaru. And, you know, I just thought that was like an interesting little connection. That's all. Anyway, so yeah. And then Generations was, you know, really good by focusing on just, you know, all the other characters from all the regions. And I was like, that's great. I love to see that. So I take it that Legend of Thunder was like them trying to do it, but didn't exactly execute very well. It's kind of like a Orange Island, Sun and Moon kind of situation, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like they were just trying to test the waters with, like, because Pokemon Chronicles was just like just an American thing that we did, where we took like OVAs and weird side stories that aired in Japan and we made a season out of them. Like, we took, like, Pokemon Chronicles is taken up of stuff from 2001 all the way to 06. Of things, but yeah, it was an interesting experiment to see, like, because, like, I remember Jimmy, his Pokedex is different to Ash's, where it has like full color illustrations of Pokemon rather than just a static image. And it's, I thought for a minute, it's like, are we going down this route with this
PNGs.
Guy? Yeah, they weren't, they were like these, Raikou's entry had like a nice detailed painting of Raikou. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool, but yeah.
Yeah, I think what really killed a lot of the momentum of Pokemon for a lot of people was the Mirage of Pokemon special.
I think I think things were starting to go downhill before that, because I know so many people who like dropped out of Johto, because Johto is 50% filler, so lots of things weren't happening in Johto. But when Mirage of when Mastermind of the Mirage Pokemon came out, that was rough, because me and Javante saw that the day of its premiere.
I remember that, yeah, like on Kids WB.
We just so happened to be
house, and it was like,
yeah, he had Kids WB. We never had the WB at our house, so we were like, oh man, this is really special. This is coming up. I was like, what is going on? Why does everyone sound different?
Why do they sound like that? What's going on?
Oh. It's like, oh, this is just testing the waters for what is eventually to come in the new season. It's like, oh no.
And I'm like, huh? Yeah, like, and then Battle Frontier happened, and it was just like...
It was rough. Everyone's gotten a heck of a lot better, but those were rough days for everybody.
Yeah, and that is when I left, because I knew the writing in the wall when I was like, oh, wow, this sounds or looks so different than what I'm accustomed to, and I'm already at that age where I'm getting too old for this. It's like, yeah, so I can understand why I can understand why a lot of people my age just like flat out left. It's like, yeah, I'm already past high school. I shouldn't be watching this anymore. So, yeah. But no, it's like I felt like personally for me, if like I probably should have like stuck around a little bit longer to see where it would have gone. But no, I guess I didn't. And I from what I've heard from a lot of people, I missed out on a lot of things.
Because that's what me and my brother did. Because when Battle Frontier started, we were like, what's going on, man? And then it's like, well, we're just smack dab in the middle of the Battle Frontier challenge. We have to see this out. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but like there were so many things that had like that intro changed and got short and sounded weird. All the voices changed and everything felt different. It was like, just like a lot to take in at once as like a, I don't know, 10-year-old.
You were eight. I was 10, yeah. Which is ironically around the same time most people got into Pokemon. So yeah. We technically grew up with, well, it's one dub, but you know, different voice people, like
that's so weird to think about. Yeah,
it's like we grew up with both voices technically, because we were in that perfect age group. Like, that's so weird. People don't get into Pokemon at 3 years old, and then
it's weird, right? Like we did.
and that's lucky, considering that, you know, the franchise started off in America when I was 12. So it's like, wow. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, being introduced to such a big thing like that at a very young age. I mean, I guess maybe the equivalent of that would be like, I don't know, Transformers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, probably. But yeah, like Pokemon, it's like, that's an awesome way to get into the franchise at such a young age.
Yeah, and I mean... when Battle Frontier started, we were smack dab in the middle of the Frontier Challenge, so we got to power through this, and then Diamond and Pearl got a lot better. And then, yeah, it was like, okay, we're good. But, yeah, Pokemon is, it's so crazy to get into, and Ninja Turtles we got into maybe, like, 5-6 years ago, and that's wild, but, yeah, Pokemon is, like, one of the greatest things to get into, and we didn't follow, like, when Johto came around, it kind of just melded in to what we were doing anyways. It's like, oh, yeah, there's some Johto Pokemon here, too. It's not like we knew about Gold and Silver. We first played Gold and Silver when everybody was on Fire Red and Leaf Green. Like, one of my friends was just like, true. Hey, you can have Silver. I don't need it anymore. It's like, cool. We got a Super Game Boy.
Which is crazy, because that's like, a $70 cartridge now?
Yep, we still have the original cartridge. We need to replace the battery in that thing.
Yeah, doesn't save anymore.
No.
No saves.
Yeah. I recalled when the anime was like leaning more towards like the Diamond and Pearl stuff. I think I remember like I was just passing through like a commercial or something like that, waiting for something else. And then I was just like flipping through to Cartoon Network, and then the Diamond and Pearl theme song was playing. And I just thought, wow, this is how bad it's gotten.
Oh no. Yeah. The rap. Because when we saw it, I was like, Oh no. It's not good, like, when an anime gets a rap, man. That's like the death knell.
That's the Digimon death knell right there. That's not good. And then Battle Dimension started. It's like, oh my goodness, this feels so much better. Because we watched The Rise of Darkrai and we're like, hey, that's the good song that played in the movie. Like, okay, everything sounds good. And then old voices came back to the show and things started to pick up in the show itself. We're like, we're getting
somewhere. Like Gen 4 was like really great. Like, especially towards the end with the Sinnoh League. Ugh, I need to watch that again. That
was so good. Yeah. The battle, Ash and Paul at Lake Acuity, that 6-on-6 battle is gorgeous. So good. I love full battles.
I've heard a lot of people talking about Paul as like one of the definitive rivals to Ash. And you know what? Yeah. I really need to watch it because people are saying he's even better than Gary. And I'm like, really? And he's he's like more ruthless than he is. It's like, oh, that sounds like Silver, where he was like really ruthless. And then he started to grow to love Pokemon. It's like, no. Like, he's like really ruthless. Like, he doesn't care. And, you know, he abandons his Pokemon if they think they're weak and stuff like that. And then Ash takes him down. And it's like really satisfying. I'm like, oh, wow. It's in that direction. Interesting.
Yeah, because it was like, mm-hmm. Gary is cool. He brought out things that Ash wanted to be better than him, and we eventually got a good payoff out of it. But Diamond and Pearl was like entirely centered around Ash and Paul's rivalry, and like Ash brought out things in Paul that Paul never knew about, and Paul even learned some stuff from Ash and vice versa. And I remember when we first saw Chimchar and we're like, this poor Chimchar is like just getting verbally abused by Paul and doing things that it doesn't want to do. And then we were on Serebii.net just to see if Japan got any further than us. And we're like, man, Ash still has Pikachu, Aipom, Turtwig, Staravia for like the last year. And then I see Chimchar. It's like, Chimchar? When did he get Chimchar? And then we saw the episode and then Paul releases Chimchar and then Ash is like, nah, I'm taking Chimchar. We're going to do things my way and we'll bring out the power in Chimchar. And then by the end in the Sinnoh League, when it all comes together, it's like, yes, I didn't even care that Ash lost the Sinnoh League. The fact that he beat Paul was the important part, because if he didn't beat Paul, then everything that Ash stood for would have been for nothing. And that was like, until very recently, the best battle in the anime.
Oh, that's right, because I remember last year, or was it the year before? No, it was the year before. Yeah, it was the year before. I keep forgetting that we're in 2021 now. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, then when people were saying about like where he finally won the league and people were just rejoicing, saying he finally won, because I remember a friend of mine was really upset that he didn't win the X and Y league when he was so close to winning. And so now that he won the Alola region and people were just like cheering and excited. I mean, even people like Veronica Taylor, who hasn't voiced Ash in almost a decade, congratulated.
15 years, actually.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh my god, yeah, you're right. Oh jeez. She even said her congratulations
everywhere. It was on like Twitter.
Yeah, even like Pokemon's official, even Pokemon's official Twitter announced, like, alluded to it, but the episode didn't come out in English yet, which is weird because they don't have.
I know, they spoiled it.
No, they didn't say it. They kind of alluded to it, and then last year they made National Ash Ketchum Day, which is when Ash won the Alola League in Japan, not in the English dub. So it's like, you're acknowledging a thing you don't even officially support.
Wow.
But don't get me into that. But that wasn't the battle that is like the best battle. It's the battle after the league when Ash gets to fight Kukui, because it's like, it's just an exhibition match and there are no stakes, but it's still the coolest match in the anime. Yeah. Like by the end of it, me and Javonte looked at each other and we're like, okay, I think Ash versus Paul has finally been topped. They even use type wild. Okay, it's the best.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. But like, man, when it comes to leagues, Ash, like Gen 4, because I remember being very into that league, but Ash was not going to win going up against Tobias, who had nothing but legendary Pokemon. Like Darkrai takes out like what? Like
four
of his Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. Like Heracross is like, Heracross dead, Torkoal, it's like, oh hey, it's Torkoal, Torkoal's dead, Gible or something, and then Sceptile takes him out, and it's like, oh man, he just took out Darkrai, never been taken down before, and then he throws out another Pokeball, it's like, what does he have? It's Latios. Like, oh, he's done.
Like, no!
He's so dead.
Wow. That is like, I mean, you know, it's like, hey, Tobias, please nerf.
It's like, oh, for goodness sake. But I still feel the worst loss for Ash was the Kanto League, just because that referee had it. Not because Charizard wouldn't listen, but because, like, when he fought... Let me just tell the story real quick, because like Ash was like getting sidetracked by Team Rocket all day. He couldn't get to the stadium. Richie was waiting for him all day, and he almost got disqualified. And then he has to come in with Pidgeotto carrying Team Rocket's balloon. All of his Pokemon are exhausted. He doesn't even get a chance to explain himself. He just has to go into the battle with all of his wiped out Pokemon from the day. Squirtle fights Richie's Butterfree. Butterfree uses sleep powder on Squirtle. The referee says that, like, Squirtle is unable to battle. Like, it's like, excuse me? Excuse me? Pikachu like, loses. And then Pikachu loses to Butterfree because, or Pikachu, because it's tired from everything it did today. Team Rocket just wanted to tire out Ash just because. And then he sends out Charizard, and it's like, guy, you have a Kingler, you have a Muk, you have 30 Tauros. Why are you using the Pokemon that doesn't listen to you? Which is kind of interesting because it's like, hey, the main hero of the show doesn't always win. He's not perfect, but like, man, you have a Kingler that just evolved in this thing, and it swept house, it cleaned house earlier in the league. Use it. He's got a Charmander. Kill it.
Yes, exactly. And
yeah. That referee had it out for him, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also another thing is that I understand that they couldn't just move it off to maybe another day, like postpone it.
They could have.
Yeah. No. Not even right.
Yeah. Just like. Yeah, just rough, man. Just absolutely rough.
And Javante, you remember in Sun and Moon when like Ash's Rowlet fell asleep and we thought he lost, like Nanu counted him out and we're like, did he just lose? But it's like, and then Hapu's like, no, his eyes aren't swirly yet. And then when he sees Decidueye, and then he looks at Decidueye so he can see the swirly eyes. It's like, okay, Decidueye is out. And everyone on Twitter is like, this is for Ash's Squirtle, who lost.
Yeah.
This one, pour one out for Ash's Squirtle.
Yeah, Hala calling out to the audience is the equivalent of you yelling at the TV when Squirtle was like deemed unable to battle. It's like, yeah, no, like, look at him. Like, no, he's not. Let him wake up.
I was like, this is such good vindication. I feel so vindicated
like
right now.
Watching a sport and getting like,
it's like, that's a foul. Isn't that a foul? That's not a foul. It's like, look with your eyes. Are you blind? The ref has no eyes.
Oh man.
I just had to get that off my chest.
No. You're justified to do so because I feel the same way. And there was even talks from one of the producers saying, like, we can't have him win every battle, and we can't have him, be so perfect because otherwise we wouldn't have a show. And then, we're just going to keep on going until there's nothing left. And it's really disappointing because, if kids are looking up to Ash or Satoshi or whatever would you call him, if they're looking up to him and they see him lose every single time, then there's going to be a point in which they're going to be devastated. It's like, you try hard, you've been through this long journey, and then you just keep on losing. It's like, yeah, I understand perseverance and all that kind of stuff, but there's a point in which, like, hey, let's have him win every once in a while. I mean, I know the badges, the wins of that counts, but when you're going up against like a big league. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, you're going up against like hundreds upon hundreds of trainers, and you're lucky if you even make it into like top 16.
Yeah.
And
lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky, yeah, exactly.
Like in the first generation, he got lucky that he got to top 16 mm-hmm. with his skill with Charizard. Nah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But still, you want to at least, give the character a little, leeway in saying, hey, we could have this one in which he does win. And I know that he does win in the Orange Islands, and he does, get offered to be one of the Battle Frontier members. I mm-hmm. get it. But still, it's like, for a lot of people, it's like, that's not enough. I mean, I want, they want to see him into the Pokemon League Championship, and they want him to see him in the Hall of Fame like they were able to do in the games. But, I'm glad that they were able to give him that in the Sun and Moon series, in which now he can finally say he won something. It's like the equivalent of Leonardo DiCaprio finally getting an Oscar for a movie.
And I remember there was even an old translation, but when the Alola League was about to start, one of the guys who was like one of the anime staff was like, everybody in the Alola League that you're going to see is someone that you have seen in the past, like all the main characters. So you're not going to see someone come up out of nowhere and sweep the competition. We promise you that.
Tobias. Like,
thank you.
Oh my goodness. Thanks. God.
Now, speaking of characters coming back or something like that, I do know that in a few series, they do bring back returning characters. I mean, they brought back Misty a couple of times. They brought back Misty and Rock and Sun and Moon from what I've seen in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And, I'm glad that they were able to, like, call back into the series every once in a while and, get to see what they're up to, which I thought was actually really cool.
Yeah.
And I think that one clip that I did see of Misty summoning Gyarados when she was really terrified of it in the first series is like, that's actually really awesome, especially since Gyarados is a water type and you kind of need to get a water type like Gyarados in order for you to be a master. So, yeah.
Yeah. And she used Like when in Sun and Moon, when they went back to Kanto and then Brock fought Kiawe and he used Steelix, and it's like, oh man, that's so cool. It's Steelix. And then when Brock is about, he's like on the ropes, but then Brock pulls out a Megastone and we were like, wait, what? And because we were past Mega Evolution in Sun and Moon, and then Steelix evolved, Mega evolves, and we're like, what? What? This Pokemon we've known since like the beginning. We lost our minds. And then later in the episode, Ash fights Misty. She has Gyarados. She Mega evolves that Gyarados. It's like, this is so cool.
That is
so
awesome. Cool.
That is what I'm talking about.
I like to see when they, I like to see them bring in like characters from, that you see from the games and whatnot, and you're not sure how they're going to interpret them. Like in the latest intro, they show like the Elite Four member Wickstrom, and like Wickstrom, like what are they going to do with this guy? Cause we haven't seen him since Gen 6. Yeah. And he's got like no dialogue or anything. I'm like, this should be kind of cool. Or even alternatively in like the TCG, like I like seeing, you know, they have like the really nice looking trainer cards and things like that, but we're only getting like some old people just now. Like we're getting our first Bruno card like in the next expansion. I'm like, how has there not been a Bruno card before? Like he's a staple, you know, Kanto Elite Four member, but then again, he wasn't really in the anime either, right?
He was in one episode.
Yeah. And
the unexpected.
Yeah. And that interpretation of Bruno was weird. Like he's just like this lax.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Like he was just this lax guy who like, you know, it was like a Mr. Miyagi situation in which he was like promising to train Ash to be an Elite Four member and how to defeat him. And he does things like, you know, peeling off, you know, the bark of the stick so that he can make chopsticks and stuff like that. It's like, this is what Bruno is? I mean, I remember Bruno being like really cool and, you know, fighting him in the Elite Four. And it's like, no, they kind of, and even with like the first episode in which like, you know, Bruno was fighting off against a trainer and the television, I thought, you know, that would be cool.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that, wait, this is what the interpretation of Bruno is? It's kind of lame. And that's, and it's kind of sad because, you know, there
strange.
Was, yeah, that is strange. I mean, and you know, the other interpretations of the other Elite members, like, I think Lorelei was in one episode and Claire, and were like really cool. I remember if it was Lorelei or Claire talking about like the importance of teamwork and, you know, appreciating your Pokemon or something like that. Like they're not meant to, you know, be pushed around and such. And I thought that that's a really good lesson to learn about that. And I was just kind of let down with Bruno. I mean, I guess he wasn't like portrayed very well. I mean, especially since you have others like Lance is more popular, and I guess Agatha would be if you want to know the backstory of Oak about like how they were a thing back then. And I guess Lorelei in the anime was maybe played a little bit better, but yeah, Bruno kind of got the short end of the stick.
Well, who knows? They might bring him back.
That kind of sucks.
Like, yeah, they might bring him back, but Yeah, it wasn't the best interpretation from what I recall. But
yeah, I mean, we don't even see like a Johto people. Like there is no Will, right? Like
no Will.
Will is not in the anime at all. And then who else is there? Koga? Is Karen?
Karen's
not there either, right?
No, she's not in the anime. No.
No, and it's like I want to see those guys, you know.
But yeah, like that's, I guess they're kind of rectifying that now, because when we saw Wickstrom, like
exactly.
What?
It's like Wickstrom.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't in the XY anime. He showed up in like one of the movies at the very beginning. No dialogue, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's not in the game adventure either. You just go to the Elite Four. He's like, hey, I'm Wickstrom. Let's fight. That's it. That's all you can. You know?
Right. Now, I want to ask you guys, especially since you are caught up with the anime and such like that. Now, if what would you say would be like the definitive version of the anime that, you know, people can like get started with if they're not familiar with Pokemon?
Let me go with mine, because I feel like mine will be pretty short.
Sure.
I would just go with the ones that I like really enjoy. So that would be like X and Y, Diamond and Pearl, or Sun and Moon, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's interesting, because each one has their own like kind of thing, because like Sun and Moon is very very relaxed and cool, but has a lot of exciting moments. Diamond and Pearl and X and Y are really action-packed and have really good payoffs. Kanto is the one that started it all and it's just fun all the way through, and Hoenn is like a fresh start of Kanto. But I would say maybe if you're getting started, maybe try Sun and Moon or X and Y first, or yeah, maybe just start off with Kanto, because Kanto is quick. There's like 80 episodes, and then yeah, make it up as you go.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. That definitely,
Yeah, you can.
Oh, really?
It's not the word. No, we're just going back, but you know.
I did not watch it. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I get all my information.
It tries to set up some things, but due to a lot of things that kind of went out of control, like the Japan earthquake in 2011,
things
kind of didn't shape out as they should have, and they kind of stumbled through.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like literally, like how many arcs in anime do you know that get completely destroyed because of a natural disaster?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear about that. I knew about the natural disaster that happened because I remember 2011 was the year where a lot of people were giving a lot of donations to help the people in need. And I remember that there was this huge video discussing people who were in the gaming industry discussing about, like, you know, their favorite Japanese games and, you know, why it influenced them into the industry and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there was like companies from Naughty Dog and Insomniac and Epic Games and various, and even indie companies were even, you know, giving their own feedback into how Japan influenced them. And I remember the industry was, you know, hugely crushed with the natural disaster, but I didn't know that, you know, the fifth generation, you know, was suffering because of that. That's awful.
No, it was just because like they were about to show an episode where Team Rocket was going to fight Team Plasma, and they built it up like 20 episodes in, and it was going to be really interesting. But then when the earthquake happened, that just so happened to be the weekend the episode was going to air. And yeah, some characters that showed up early in Black and White never appeared again. They were written out of canon because they went with a whole new
disappeared
canon. And like, yeah, like some guy called Pierce, who was voiced by Dan Green in the dub, his character said, like, "I'll meet you at the rendezvous point." We never saw him again after that.
Oh, man. It kind of disappeared. It reminds me so much of how they dropped the GS Ball side plot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're never going to see that again. You're never going to see Celebi come out of the GS Ball. Nope.
Yeah, they left it with Kurt because they hoped that viewers would forget, but we never forgot.
Nope, we never forgot.
Never.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, but yeah, that's for the newer fans. But let's just say that a person like myself who had seen like maybe one or two of the series, like would I jump into Diamond and Pearl to get myself back into it, because that's when I stopped.
There's nothing wrong with Diamond and Pearl, but if we're going for more recent stuff, I'd say Sun and Moon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll definitely check out Sun and Moon.
Yeah. Sun and Moon is nice. You just kick back, relax. And another thing it does where, like, you know how characters would be like, here's the character of the day in this episode. We'll see you never at the end of the episode. No, Sun and Moon has, like, characters that you thought were characters of the day. They come back, like, a lot of the time. It's like, wait, the shop lady is back and she's got, like, this and she does this? I never knew that they would do that.
Yeah, like, they stick around and develop. Like, it's really cool.
It's like one big family. It's like, oh, I remember these guys from, like, 30 episodes ago and they're married now. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you would see a lot of interesting characters that you wish would get development, but you never see them again. Like the trainer who trains his sand shrew to be like the top percentage of sand shrews.
Uh-huh.
And the girl who has this Rattata, she happens to be this big baseball fan, which I think is...
Casey.
Yeah, Casey. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I thought, hey, I mean, I would like to see them more often, but they never really did as soon as they were done with those regions. But if Sun and Moon is able to bring back characters like that, I'm really intrigued. So, yeah, definitely. And especially since I said about that scene that I saw with Mallow, it's like, yeah, I really need to go check it out now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You can't go wrong with Sun and Moon.
All right, then. Well, listen, I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on by. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for
Absolutely.
Having us on.
Thanks for having
this was
us.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, so tell people where they can find you, plug and promote your stuff.
Okay, I guess you can find me. I'm the Cartoon Gamer. You can find me at my YouTube channel, Cartoon Gamer 8000. I also got a Twitter, Facebook, and probably a couple of other stuff I'm forgetting, but that's me. You can watch more Pokemon stuff and a bunch of other stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you want to find my stuff, I'm on YouTube as The All Around Type. I just do video game reviews, might dip into some new stuff coming up. I also have a Twitter, Instagram, and yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Let us know in the comments below about your thoughts of the anime. What was your favorite series? What was your favorite characters? What was your favorite moments? Are you one of those people who, you know, stood the whole way through? Or were you one of those people like myself who kind of petered out after a while, but wants to get back into it in some way, shape, or form? So that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Hope to see you around soon, and take care.